Good morning. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in today for Joy Cardine. It's the Memorial Day weekend with its requisite picnics and family get-togethers, and the three-day weekend will end in many cities and many villages throughout the country with a Memorial Day parade. In Washington, D.C., the 2008 National Memorial Day Parade will be watched by over 200,000 people, and according to the parade's website, will feature thousands of participants ranging from military units, youth organizations, marching bands, and some of America's most distinguished veterans. But one group of veterans won't be in the parade, a group that opposes the war in Iraq, and that is Veterans for Peace. The group has been told that its proposed entry into the parade will not be allowed because parade organizers say it's too political. Michael Marceau is with us today. He is the vice president of the Delwyn Anderson Memorial Chapter of Veterans for Peace in the Washington, D.C. area. And we were also joined by Elliot Adams, who is the president of the National Organization of Veterans for Peace. We'd like to hear from you on this topic, your thoughts on politics in parades, in Memorial Day parades, and whether the Veterans for Peace entry crosses the line. We'll be talking about the entry, and you can decide for yourself. Our toll-free number is 800-642-1234, and if you're calling from the Madison area, it is 263-1890. You can also join the discussion by email, and our email address is talk@wpr.org. Michael Marceau, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hello, good morning from Washington, D.C. How's it going?
It's going pretty well, and let's see if Elliot Adams is here as well. Good morning.
Good morning, Gene. Wonderful to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have both of you along today to talk about this topic. I want to start with the parade entry, and two questions first, and I'm not sure who wants to take it. I guess it was the Delwyn Anderson chapter that was going to do the entry. Is that correct, Michael?
Yeah, that's correct. And let me correct one other thing, too.
Sure.
Veterans for Peace is not just against the Iraq war, but we are trying to get the public awareness of the fact that war should not be used as a national policy. And we also want to bring the public up to speed and educate them on the total cost of war, whether that's in the dollar amounts, which you see on the news and in media reports, as well as the broken bodies and the damaged minds and other physical psychic damage that cannot be seen in the young men and women who have chosen to serve in the military today. So we are not just against the Iraq war, but all wars in general.
All right, and let's go back to the parade entry for a second. Why, first of all, I guess the overarching question, why is this a parade that you wanted to be part of? Obviously, you thought Veterans for Peace should be represented as part of a Memorial Day celebration.
Well, I'm fairly new to Veterans for Peace. I've just been a member for about a year and a half and been involved with the D.C. chapter that entire time. But we noticed through our newsletters and communication among our members that several chapters, Boston was one, and there was a chapter in California that were excluded from Veterans Day parades last year. And we figured that that's just a total lack of respect for these parade organizers, for us veterans. I mean, I am a disabled Vietnam veteran. I spent 8 months at Walter Reed Hospital in 1970. As a result of my injuries, so you're telling me that I don't deserve to march in a parade honoring veterans? I just do not accept that at all. And what we decided to do was to see if we could get into this parade. So several of our members have participated in local community parades and community fairs and such like that in the Northern Virginia area. So we figured this is just a step up in that regard and getting the chapter and the group as a whole a little more visibility, especially on a day made to honor and memorialize those who have sacrificed in service to their country. We applied to the parade organizing committee back, I guess, around in March or so. And in early April, we received a letter of acceptance to the parade. I will have to say that our original idea was to have several convertibles with a couple of our World War II veteran members and the widow of Delwyn Anderson, for whom my chapter's name, riding these convertibles. The rest of our contingent would be either in front of or behind these cars carrying Veterans for Peace flags and American flags. And we also said in our original application that we would be pulling a coffin to memorialize those who have given their lives in defense of this country. But the parade committee came back to us and said, you can't do the coffin, so we agreed that we would eliminate that. And then the next thing we heard was that they would have to run this by the actual organizing committee of the American Veterans Center, because apparently the organizing was done by some kind of production company, whose name escapes me at the moment. But when we did finally hear back from American Veterans Center, they said that they cannot allow any groups which has a political viewpoint to march in the parade, which is very strange, because I went back and looked at the original AP press release yesterday, and what it said was that some of the units in these parades will be Revolutionary War reenactors and active duty military units. And if you tell me groups like that do not have a political viewpoint, I would be hard-pressed to come up with an explanation for that, whereas we are considered to have a viewpoint.
We're talking with Michael Marceau this hour and Elliot Adams. Michael Marceau is the vice president of the Delwyn Anderson Memorial Chapter of the group Veterans for Peace in the Washington, D.C. area. Elliot Adams is the president of the National Organization of Veterans for Peace. And we're talking about their application to be in the National Memorial Day Parade. And as you just heard, they applied, they made an application, it was accepted, and then subsequently rejected for being too political. And we'll be talking about some of the ramifications of that and some of their take on that as well. We'll be inviting your phone calls at 800-642-1234. And if you're calling from the Madison area, it's 263-1890. What do you think about this topic? What do you think should be in a Memorial Day parade? I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in for Joy Cardine today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 7:17. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 8 this morning, it'll be the Week in Review. We'll take a look back at what happened in the news over the course of the week. Well, right now, during this hour, we are talking with representatives of the organization's Veterans for Peace. They had an entry in the National Memorial Day Parade in Washington, D.C. They had put in the application papers, they had their entry accepted, and at the end of it all, their entry turned out to be rejected after all of that because the organizers of the parade said that they had too much of a political viewpoint for the parade. Our guests this hour are Michael Marceau. He is the vice president of the Delwyn Anderson Memorial Chapter of Veterans for Peace. That is the chapter that actually put the entry into the parade. And Elliot Adams is with us as well. He is president of the national organization, Veterans for Peace. And let's bring Elliot Adams into the conversation for a moment here. Elliot Adams, nationwide, how often does Veterans for Peace get involved in parades, in activities like this? I imagine outreach is a pretty large part of what the organization does.
Well, you're right. Outreach is part of what we are trying to do, to have our voice heard. And also, we are veterans, so we often participate in veteran events. Nationwide, on a percentage basis, it's pretty small. And in each case, it's a little bit different what happens. For example, in Boston, they were allowed to march, but they weren't supposed to carry signs, and they weren't allowed a speaker. And that's what prompted the action in Boston to try to get a equal voice in the parade. There was an issue in Santa Rosa right now, California, where not the organizers of the parade, but the UVC, United Veterans Council, which is an organization that exists in most counties in California, didn't want Veterans for Peace to march in the veterans contingent. So in that case, for example, two years ago, VFP marched in the contingent, got first place for the veterans contingent, got standing ovations, unlike the other veterans groups along the march. And then last year they said that the VFP was not allowed to march with the veterans contingent.
So, I mean, it sounds as though a lot of times wherever you go, you're obviously one of your goals is to spark discussion and to make sure people know what the viewpoint of your organization is. But at the same time, it sounds like you know in some regards that you're going to be setting yourselves up for controversy.
Well, we are trying to bring the truth about war to people. We have fought. Our numbers are deep with. I've often noticed when I go to meetings that there's a disproportionately high number of paratroopers and Marines because people who fight the war see the real cost of war, and we feel that cost is actually being hidden from the public. And indeed, in this administration, they refuse to even allow the pictures of the coffins to be seen by the American public. It's appalling, let alone the actual scenes from the battlefields. They filter all those. It isn't fair for the American public to be participating in supporting wars when they have no idea what they were about.
Let's go and find out what listeners think, because we have a bunch of them who are waiting to talk. Jim joins us from Milwaukee, and good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I would think that the point is, it's definitely politicizing it, and I think your guests are admitting that they are trying to do that. So basically, the argument against them is valid, and I'm sure that if they simply went in as individuals of other units as simply veterans rather than Veterans for Peace, and this is our group, and we're going to make this political statement here, they would be allowed to march. And holding up signs and everything else that is counter, it'd be like going to a Right for Life, you know, Right to Life parade and holding up your abortion sign.
Jim, thanks for the call. And let's see. Let's get a response to that from Michael Marceau with the Delwyn Anderson chapter.
I think, like Elliot was saying, it's kind of an educational effort on our part to educate the general American public about the true cost of war. Like I say, it's not the trillions of dollars, but it's the 4,000 and plus dead and the 30,000 plus injured. Most of them are, a good proportion of them, with traumatic brain injuries as well as PTSD symptoms. There was a recent article in the Washington Post here that dealt with a woman at a VA medical facility in Texas who had ordered members of her department not to diagnose veterans with PTSD because it takes too long to treat and is too expensive to treat. And the American people need to know that. That's why it was so heartening for me, especially in the Washington, D.C. area last year, when the Washington Post came out with their expose of the terrible conditions at Walter Reed Hospital. I mean, when you are putting guys in wheelchairs and guys with artificial limbs on second floors of wards with no elevators, I mean, the American public needs to know about that. There's just total disregard for the service of the American veterans, both men and women. I mean, I've gone over to Walter Reed Hospital, met young men and women who should be planning their summer break at the beach instead of learning how to walk with an artificial leg or dealing with an artificial arm, or learning how to take the 15 or 20 or 30 different types of medication for traumatic brain injury. And this is the stuff that is not coming out in the media. And I think this administration and all the people that are involved in this occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan are making deliberate efforts to keep these situations in the dark and keep them hidden from the American people, like Elliot said, with the not allowing the coffins to be shown.
So back to Jim's point, his point was that the parade rules say you can't be political, and you certainly don't deny that you've got a political message. I mean, that's the whole point of this.
Well, it's an educational message, but at the same time, when you have active duty military people in the parade, when you have groups like the American Legion and the Veterans for Foreign Wars marching with their ceremonial weapons and in full dress military uniform, that also constitutes a political viewpoint. So why are those groups allowed to participate and our group is not?
Let's go back to Milwaukee right now, and Carol joins us this time. Hi, Carol.
Hi, that was a nice segue, actually, that your guest just made for my point of view, which is that I believe that these celebrations are political in nature.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through. Will you please try your call again?
I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on here, Carol. Let me try to do some.
I think NSA is tapping this conversation and trying to disrupt our show here, Gene.
I'm pretty sure they're not. I'm pretty sure it's operator error here, actually. And then, you know what I just did? I just cut Carol off, too. Whoops. Okay. They're gonna take all my buttons away from here, I'm afraid. I didn't mean to cut Carol off. I don't know what happened with the other phone line, but I'm pretty sure it's not the NSA.
Let me jump in here real quick and continue, and hopefully we can get Carol back. If you go to the American Veterans Center website, you'll see that some of the co-sponsors of the parade are groups like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, CACI, C-A-C-I, which is a huge consulting firm here in the Washington, D.C. area, the National Rifle Association, the government of Kuwait at one point was listed on their website, I believe. And if you're telling me that those groups do not have political viewpoints, then I'm not sure what's going on here, but you can kind of see the political viewpoints that are accepted in this parade.
And let's try another phone call now, see how I do with this one. And we'll head over to Appleton, and Morgan joins us. Hi, Morgan.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi. I'm actually a member of the Wisconsin Veterans for Peace. I'm also a proud member of Disabled American Veterans, and I'm a pagan veteran. And I'm just for words. I mean, this is the first I've heard of this. It hasn't even sunk in yet. I mean, disrespect for public discourse is just appalling.
And Morgan, thanks for the call. And there you go, Michael Marceau, someone who agrees with your viewpoint, it sounds like.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of that here. It's just that we need to start speaking up. And I've noticed flipping through the Washington Post this morning that over the past week, I know dozens of members of our local organization here, as well as folks who have picked up on our website, have sent letters to the editor of the Washington Post, and so far nothing has been published. So I don't know what that says, but we're very disappointed about that.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in today for Joy Cardine. We had another email here from Ray in Milwaukee, who wanted to pass along that it's his viewpoint that pro-war is still political. And Ray says he takes his hat off to these veterans. So there you go. Someone else who agrees with your viewpoint, Michael Marceau.
Well, we appreciate the support, and that's very gratifying to us, since as a Vietnam veteran, we were completely ignored when we got back from our service to our country. And it's just something that we have kind of made a promise to ourselves and to our younger veterans that we will not ignore them like we were ignored.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the 2008 National Memorial Day Parade this hour, and specifically one group which had applied to have an entry in the parade. The application was initially accepted, and then a couple of weeks later, it was subsequently rejected, and the parade organizers say that the group Veterans for Peace had too much of a political viewpoint for the parade, and therefore their group, their organization, the veterans that were planning to march in the parade, to ride in the parade, were not going to be allowed. We're talking with Michael Marceau this hour, the vice president of the Delwyn Anderson Memorial Chapter of Veterans for Peace, and Elliot Adams, the president of the national organization, and getting their viewpoints and taking your phone calls. And we'll be taking those right after this look at the news from WPR and National Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 25 minutes before 8 o'clock, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in today for Joy Cardine. This hour, we are talking about the 2008 National Memorial Day Parade with the group Veterans for Peace. The group had an entry in the parade. They had made their application, and then sometime later, it was subsequently rejected for being too political. We're joined today by Elliot Adams. He is the president of the National Organization of Veterans for Peace, and Michael Marceau, who is the vice president of the Delwyn Anderson Memorial Chapter of the group, and they are the group that made the actual application. And all of the phone technical issues we heard before was because we had lost Elliot Adams. Let's see if he is back with us right now. Elliot Adams. Adams, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened with all of that. But they have a lot of buttons here, and occasionally I press the wrong one. Let's bring some folks back into the conversation here. Roy joins us now, and Roy is in Bayside. Good morning.
Hi. Some veterans groups, which some of my relatives belong to, have names which imply agendas, such as the Polish War Veterans, the Catholic War Veterans, and the Jewish War Veterans. Have any of these groups been excluded from parades on the grounds that they might take political stands on some issues?
Well, Elliot Adams, you want to take that one?
I have not heard of such a thing.
And also, it just seems to me that maybe your group should investigate whether some of these people on the sponsoring committee have made political donations to various pro-Bush candidates, whether they're Democrats or Republicans.
And good point. I think it's also important to understand that that the notion that a war is good is a very strong political statement. So support of any war is a political statement. It just as opposition to any war is a political statement. I think it's also important to understand that Memorial Day started out in Civil War era as a peace effort. Mm. Just as so many of our wars, so we fought World War I as a war to end all wars. So repeatedly we have made efforts to try to, we as the American people, to try to end war. We signed the Kellogg-Briand Treaty, which swore off our right to, our sovereign right to execute war. So repeatedly we have made efforts as a nation to try to pull back from war, stop war, but other forces have promoted the wars. So the promotion of war is a very political process. And indeed, turning the Memorial Day parade from a memorial, which you would think would be black clothes and dirges, which is typical for funerals and memorials, into a gala event with every high school band that can roll down the street and bright colored flags, it is a political statement in and of itself.
And Michael Marceau, I want to bring you into the conversation here real quickly. I take the entry into the parade has not been accepted. So what is the Delwyn Anderson chapter going to do on the Memorial Day? Are you doing an alternate activity of some sort?
Well, actually, there's a couple of possibilities. I mentioned earlier in our conversation, Gene, that some of our Virginia people have been very active in doing little community fairs and such things like that, some local celebrations. And there is something called Viva Vienna, which is going on Sunday and Monday. Some of our members will be participating in that. One of our members, Tony Teolis, who does our website and does a terrific job of keeping everyone posted up to date with the current happenings, has come up with a board game that is very entertaining and educational for the younger folks. And so that's a good way to get our message out to the general community, our message of peace and nonviolence, and educating them about the true cost of war, like I said earlier. As for some of the rest of us, we are still debating on that. We saw that last year the Boston chapter, their members just stood on the side of the parade route with pieces of tape over their mouths and signs that they were holding up that said American Legion silences Veterans for Peace. And from what I understand, and Elliot may have more knowledge of this than I do, and from what I understand, several dozen of those members were arrested, including an 80-year-old veteran. So, I mean, that's pretty shabby treatment of veterans on Veterans Day.
Let's go back to the phones right now, and John joins us from Bangor. Good morning, John.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Really appreciate this show. Mike and Elliot, right on. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm the founder of Veterans Opposing War, VOW, and People Opposing War, POW. And the question I have for you guys is, how do you dispel the myth that if you're against the war, you don't support the troops and you're not patriotic? I personally believe that it's just the opposite. Any human being who knows in his heart that his government is doing something wrong and does not oppose it is, in fact, unpatriotic, in my opinion. What do you guys think about that?
John, thanks for the call, and let's start with Elliot Smith, Elliot on that.
I agree with you, John, I think that many soldiers do. I know that I sure would have been glad for anybody who was trying to bring me home from Vietnam. We talk to soldiers in Iraq who are not ready to take a dramatic action themselves to oppose the war, but are pleased and delighted and thankful for all of our efforts here. To my mind, there is nothing that supports a soldier more than bringing him back to the shores where he's safe and sound.
And then we can have Michael Marceau join in on this. The point from John in Bangor, how do you work on those two issues, patriotism and opposing a war?
Well, I'd just like to continue what Ellie was saying there, bring our young men and young women home from their foreign shores, and I would add, and take care of them when they do get here, not only in the physical health area, but in the mental health area as well, and that is going to be a huge concern down the road. Both the VA medical system and the military medical systems are so understaffed and so underfunded in the areas of mental health care, traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, that this is going to be a huge, huge problem in the years to come. And from what we understand, suicides are also part of the mix. I was privileged to be a team leader on a panel called Winter Soldier 2008, which happened down here in the Washington, D.C. area in March of this year. It was put on by an organization called Iraq Veterans Against the War. And if you go to their website, ivaw.org, and link to Winter Soldier, you can see some of the testimony of parents who tried repeatedly and loved ones who tried repeatedly to get help for their family member who was back after one or two or even more tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and could not get the mental help from the Veterans Administration for their loved one. From what I understand, there is a lawsuit against the Veterans Administration and the federal government in Berkeley, California, I believe, that is taking the government to task for ignoring their obligation to take care of the soldiers when they return home. And the other thing that I would like to add is that I think this idea of it comes from our president, who said, "You're either with us or against us." And, I mean, that sets the tone right there. I mean, I have been called traitor. I've been called communist. I've been called hippie and a bunch of other words that I will not say on your airways here. I take part every Friday in a vigil in front of Walter Reed Hospital as a member of several other groups in the peace community to, again, try to let people be aware of the true cost of war and the broken bodies and the injured minds upon the wards of Walter Reed Hospital. And people are incredulous that the government is not taking care of them. And I think that's where groups like us come in and are trying to make this issue much more visible to the general public.
We're talking about the 2008 National Memorial Day Parade today as we head into the Memorial Day weekend. And we're talking with Michael Marceau. You just heard him there, the vice president of the Delwyn Anderson Memorial Chapter of Veterans for Peace based in Washington, D.C. Elliot Adams is with us as well, and he is president of the National Organization of Veterans for Peace. The group had an entry in the parade, and the entry was subsequently rejected because parade organizers said it was too political. The political message of being opposed to the war in Iraq to being opposed to the war in general, wars in general, was not a message that parade organizers felt was appropriate for the Memorial Day parade. We'd like to find out what you think as well, and we'll be getting to those phone calls right after this break. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8, we'll be taking a look back at the news events of the week. It's the Week in Review with our guests on both sides. of many, many issues, and you as well. For the rest of this hour, we continue our discussion of the 2008 National Memorial Day Parade. It's an annual parade in Washington held on Memorial Day. The group Veterans for Peace, a chapter in the Washington, D.C. area, had applied for an entry, and it was rejected because parade organizers felt it was too political. Let's go to David now. David is with us in Fort Atkinson, and good morning, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to call in and say that I think it's entirely appropriate to consider the political perspectives of those who participate in Memorial Day parade. As I understand it, Memorial Day is supposed to be a national day to remember and thank those who have served in the armed forces of the United States throughout its history. And Memorial Day parades are one facet of that remembrance and thanks. It's not about whether or not war in general is good or bad, or a particular war was good or bad, or just or unjust. It's about the service that millions of Americans have given to their country to protect the lives of its people, the liberties that they enjoy, the property that they own. That's what the focus is. And so if any group is overly political, whether it's pro-war or against war, I think that it's entirely appropriate to consider that in terms of a group's application to participate in the parade. I would simply say that it's necessary to be as strict on the left hand as they are on the right hand.
David, thanks for the call, and let's take a response to that from Elliot Adams.
Well, I think that that is right, and certainly that's defended by is incorporated in all the laws of the Constitution and justice that you can limit people's actions, but not based on their speech. And I would say that the VFP is being no more political than the American Legion, for example, which, incidentally, if you look at their national website and see the resolutions they pass, are much more political than positions that VFP takes. But the other issue is what you plan to do in the parade. Now, for example, I do not see why carrying a coffin is a political statement. It's only talking about the cost of war. The cost of war is huge and hidden. I'm not sure how many of your listeners are aware that more Vietnam veterans committed suicide after they came home than died in the war. Well, that's a very strong, powerful statement that's hidden from the public. The recent, I think it was CBS did a recent study, and they found that Iraq veterans are committing suicide at the rate of 120 per week. This is not a political statement. This is not a political issue. The politics is hiding the true cost of war, hiding the reality from the American public. I think we have to differentiate. I think that excluding VFP is a very political process. They're allowing one side to be talked about, one group to be present and make their statement, and they're not allowing the other voice, other equal voice.
Let me ask you this: is there an obligation on their part to do that? I mean, they are the parade organizers. That means that you could have whoever you want to in the parade, really.
It depends on what it is. So, for example, in Santa Barbara, in Long Beach, in 2006, VFP marched. In 2007, they were rejected. They went to the state. And because while it was being organized by the local group, the government was providing police coverage, the government was providing street sweeping, so therefore the government was participatory in it, and the government is not allowed to be representing one voice or the other voice.
Susan joins us now from Wisconsin Rapids, and good morning, Susan.
Good morning. I feel that the veterans who have served this country have more than a right to express themselves about this war. I feel like the Bush administration has led this country like a group of fascists And I believe that more people in Congress, in the Senate, would have voted against this war if they weren't so afraid of being labeled anti-soldiers. We're all for the soldiers. I have my sons and my son-in-laws have both served in the military. But the people who are so gung-ho about this war have never served in it, have never served in Vietnam, nor have they served in the Second World War. They wouldn't think of sending their sons and daughter over there. But the men who and the women who have served this country so patriotically, I believe they should have a choice to express themselves in a parade.
Susan, thanks for the call. And what about that? You see, kind of lays this at the foot of the Bush administration here. Would the results have been different for your entry, do you think, Michael Marceau, if it would be a different administration right now? I mean, is that ultimately where you think it leads to?
Well, like I said, I think a lot of this is can be laid at the feet of the current administration and its policy of keeping this hidden. I mean, all the money that has been spent on this war is special or supplemental budgetary requests. It is not within the normal budget procedures. That is why the American people are not feeling the cost of this war personally. I think that during my era, when the draft was going on, hello?
Okay, there we are. You're back. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I think that you can lay this at the current administration. All the budgets are special supplementary budgets for war funding. They are not within the regular budgets. That way the American people do not feel the full brunt of this war. It will be borne by their children and grandchildren and probably great-grandchildren. And it's just, I think it's a policy to keep this hidden, to keep this locked away from the American public so that they don't have to deal with it. I mean, what was the message? Go spend money, go shopping up with your tax rebates. I mean, come on now, people. There's more things to do than that. There's more pressing issues than this country is facing. I mean, go spend your tax rebates on taking care of the veterans, for Pete's sake.
Let's go to Bernie now, and let's go to Bernie now in Whitewater. And good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, gentlemen. I definitely think Veterans for Peace should be able to participate in any parades. I'd even say that other groups who are opposed to our nation's militarism should be allowed to participate. But certainly if you have a background in the service, you have all the more capital to have a voice there. It seems to me that we live in a culture that is very heavy on the brainwashing that militarism is good, and if the political leaders of the country decide to go to war, that's a good thing. A lot of people don't even question it. There are a lot of people that feel, for example, in this current occupation of Iraq, that George Bush, you know, acted like a man. It didn't matter that he lied through his teeth. He acted like a man. So I think that it's unfortunate that people with such experience and are people that are trying to show some humanity and show some perspective on this whole thing that is glorified as war are being excluded. I think it really says a sad thing about where our nation's at, and I applaud these people for their good work.
Bernie, thanks for the call. And Elliot Adams and Michael Marceau, we're running out of time as we approach the top of the hour. And what I'd like to ask before we go is, in the one sense, you've been excluded from this parade, but I'm wondering what the reaction to that has been, because you're on our program here. I imagine you've been getting other press coverage. So your message is getting out. So was this sort of was that a silver lining to all this, that people are paying attention to it?
Elliot, you want to go first?
I was glad to go first, Mike, but I'll go first. I think that there is a benefit. I think it's still a very sad time that anybody would question whether members of Veterans of Peace and veterans should be marching in the national parade, especially because what they're doing is a very strong political statement. They're trying to exclude us, even though, for example, the American Legion has much stronger political statements as a national organization than we do, because we don't do much of that.
And Michael Marceau, you've got about a minute.
Okay. I mean, everywhere you go, you see these yellow support the troops ribbons. What does that mean? I mean, it just doesn't mean put the ribbon on your car or on your front door and go about your business. I mean, supporting the troops means, as I said before, taking care of the wounded ones, making sure that they have the proper equipment to go to war. How many times have we heard that the soldiers on the front lines do not have the necessary body armor, the necessary armored vehicles to protect themselves in case of attacks? And let me, in closing here, Gene, so just say thanks for letting us be on here, and I'll give you our chapter's website. It's www.vfpdc.org, and you can click on the picture of Delwyn Anderson to get his biography and also links to other chapters as well as some of the other media coverage that we have been getting here as a result of the story that was published the other day in the Associated Press. Just thanks all the Wisconsin callers for their support, and if you see a veteran over this Veterans Day, over this Memorial Day, excuse me, just say welcome home. That's all you need to say to them.
Michael Marceau and Elliot Adams, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here with you, Gene, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Gene. Have a good Memorial Day.
Thanks. Michael Marceau and Elliot Adams with Veterans for Peace, and we've been talking about the 2008 National Memorial Day Parade and the exclusion of their entry into that parade. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can listen to it on our website at WPR.org. Carmen Jackson produced this hour, and we had on-air production from Michelle Kofel. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.